There's a Gemara in Maseches Shabbos, Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, a beautiful Gemara. The Gemara there says, Lo Yikra La'ar HaNer Shemayata, that a person's not supposed to learn on Shabbos, on Friday night, by the light of a candle. Shemayata, because there's a fear that if he does so, he might, if he wants to see something a little closer in the Gemara and the light is not bright enough, he might tip the oil in the lamp in order to increase, in order to amplify the light. And of course, that's an Isser Dereis of Havara. So Chazal made a takana that you're not supposed to read. You're not supposed to read altogether by the light on Friday night, by the candlelight. Unless you have somebody else with you, that's going to be a shomer, etc. But that's the halacha. Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha says, Ani ekra v'loyeta, that doesn't pertain to me. I'm able to learn by the candlelight on Friday night, and I won't tip it over. I'm at Yerushalayim, nothing's going to happen to me. I'm very cool, calm, and collected. I'm not going to lose sight of the fact that it's Shabbos. So for me, it's fine. I'm different. Ani ekrev eloi eta. Pamachas kara. One time it happened that he wanted to read by the light of the candle. Uvikesh vahatais. And he was about to tilt the oil to make it brighter. He was about to. He didn't actually do it, but he was about to do it. Omar, and he said, Kama gedolim divrei chachamim, how great are the words of the chachamim, the words of our sages, shayu aimrim, lo yikra lar haner, they were smarter than I. They said that you shouldn't do this because you might come to tilt the lamp, and I thought that I'd be better, it doesn't pertain to me. And look at how great the words of the Chachamim are, that they said what they said, and you can't question them, you can't doubt them. If they say something, they know what they're talking about. Reb Nosson Aimer, Reb Nosson says, no, that wasn't the story. Kara Vehita, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha actually read, and he tilted it. He actually was over the Isser of being Mavir, of adding fuel to the fire. Kara vehite vehita vekosval pinkasai, and he wrote in his ledger, Ani Yishmael ben Elisha, I Yishmael, the son of Elisha, karisi vehitisi. I read and I tilted ner b'Shabbos, a light on Shabbos, l'cheshi bane beis hamikdash avi chatas shmeina. And when the beis hamikdash is around, I owe. I'm writing a ledger now. These people lived with the cognizance that Mashiach is going to come any day. So you have to keep a cheshbon. We don't think of that. So we don't, we're not making these cheshbon. We don't have a special notebook about what we have to do when Mashiach comes. But people, Tanoim, Amiroim, these are people that lived with the reality of Mashiach. And they said that when Mashiach comes, Avi Chatash Min, I owe. To bring a chatas. I have to bring a carbon chatas. When a person is over a malacha b'shayg, he has to bring a chatas. So I have to bring a chatas. But it doesn't just say a chatas. It says, avi chatas shmeina. I have to bring a gezunta chatas, a fat chatas. What's the pshat of fat chatas? And if you bring a skinny chatas, a chatas is a chatas. So I saw in the Ran says that Chata Shmeina is an allusion to the Avera that he violated. He violated an Avera that had to deal with Shemen. So Chata Shmeina is like an allusion, like a Mida Keneged Mida. Like I was over something with Shemen, I have to bring a Chatas, that's not just Dama Chatas, a Chata Shmeina, a fatty Chatas, a Chatas that has an allusion to the Shemen, to the Shmeina that I violated. But in the Hakdama to Sefer Melachim Amonecha, Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein writes, he has a Messiah, we have a Kabbalah. He heard from Rav Shmuel Vosner, the Pesach Hadar, who lived in Bnei Brak. He's a Talmud of Yachel of Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, one of the closest Talmidim of Rav Meir Shapiro, who brings that he heard from the Chasam Sefer, and the Chasam Sefer heard this from who? From his Rebbe. Who is the Rebbe of the Chasam Sefer? Rav Nosson Adler. Rav Nosson Adler. So we have a Mesaira from Rav Vosner to the Chasam Sefer to Rav Nosson Adler. That if a person is over on Isser D'Rabbanan on Shabbos, let's say a person violates an Isser D'Rabbanan, something that the Rabbanan asserted, not a Dairaisa. If I'm violating a Dairaisa, Chas V'Shalom on Shabbos, so Beis Hamikdash is around, they have to bring a Chatos, that's easy. Let's say I violated Darabanan. I do something that it's not an Isser Taira, it's an Isser Darabanan. What do I do then? I can't bring a Chatos. So what do I do? So he says, there's one Eitza, that when you're bringing a carbon, when you bring a normal carbon for an Isser Daraisa that you violated, you make it a little fatter. If it's a fatter carbon, so that's going to be kailel in that carbon, not just the Yisurei Taira, but the Yisurei Darabanan as well. When Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha was Kara Vehita, he did two things. The first thing he did was he was Ivan Issa Daraisa. He added fuel to the fire on Shabbat, that's an Issa Daraisa. But there was another violation that was an Issa Darabanan. He went up against the Gezeras Chacham of Shemayata, you're not supposed to be doing this. So he says, you know what? I can't, there's nothing direct that I could do to Mechaper for that. But when I bring my carbon, when I bring my carbon Chatos, because of the violation of the Dairaisa that I did, I'm going to not just make it a regular carbon Chatos, I'll get a fatter carbon Chatos, one that has a little bit more meat on the bones, and that extra will be kailo, that will include, that will be mechaper for my Isser D'Rabbanan as well. A beautiful yesod from Rav Nosson Adler. It's brought that this chiddush of Rav Nosson Adler was already said by the Sheilas Yavetz. It says a very similar vart, practically an identical vart. Now, Bizman of the Beis Hamikdash was Kayim, we had Karbanis. And even now, we have an Eitzah. Chazal tell us that Kala Eisek Bechatos Ki'ilu Hikrev Chatos. Kala Eisek Be'ayla Ki'ilu Hikrev Ayla. When we learn the Parashias of Karbanis, when we'll get to Sefer Vayikra, we'll learn about it more. But when you're learning about a Karban, it's as if you brought it. It's as if you brought it. It's ki'ilu, you're a mak of an ayla. You're a mak of a shlamim. So we have a way, even nowadays, if we're chas v'shalom, we ever violated Isurei Taira, and we owe a chatas, we owe other karbanis for different things that we've done or we haven't done. So we have a way to do that. We have a way to be mechaper by learning about it. Let's say that we're over Isurei Darabanan. Let's say we violate the Rabbanan. Sometimes we say, it's only the Rabbanan, not a big deal. And then we learn more about how great the Kayach L'Chacham are. How are we able to mechaper for that? What's our Chata Shmeina? What's that extra thing that we could do nowadays to atone for the Yisurei D'Rabbanan that we violate? And I think, Mitzad HaSvara, that what we can do is we can have a greater appreciation for Chachmei Yisrael. The more that we're able to read about Gedalia Yisrael, talk about Gedalia Yisrael, be enamored by Gedalia Yisrael, hold them in the highest esteem, and if somebody's speaking in any way, in a negative way about Gedalia Yisrael, Rabbanim, Talmidei Chachamim, then make a macha. Those are the ways that we can be mechaper for any infractions of the Rabbanans. Because a lot of times the fact that we're going against the Rabbanans mean that we don't have enough hakara for how great our gedolim are. And so by working on that, on our amunas chachamim, our hakara for Gedali Yisrael, our appreciation for the Gedalim that we have and the Gedalim that we have no longer, that's going to be able to be a kapara, I believe, perhaps, for the drabanans that were Ivan. In this week's parsha, in Parsha's Kisavei, the pasuk says, "V'samachta b'chalatayv, asher nasan l'cha Hashem l'kecha," that you should rejoice b'chalatayv with all of the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you good, you have to be happy about it. You have to appreciate it. You can't take it for granted. In the Wednesday night Vav this week, we spoke about the famous Arachayim HaKadosh, probably the most famous Arachayim HaKadosh in the entire Torah. What he speaks about, this pasuk, the Samachta B'chalatayv, that is talking about Torah and about how a person, if he would know the Mesikos and the Arevas HaTorah, how sweet the Torah is, how Geshmak the Torah is, how you Mishtagin and Mislatin Acharah, a person would go Meshuggah, you would run after it, you would chase after it. If people would only know how Geshmak it is to learn Torah, and we discussed in that Vad from Shimshon Pinkus about what we can do, how we could appreciate Torah, how we could have that Vahara of Na, the sweetness, how we could feel sweetness and enjoy the Torah, and so many of us are challenged by that. And like I said in the Vad, I don't think a day goes by during this Zman that somebody doesn't come to me in one form or another and say, Rebbe, I'm learning, I'm here, but honestly, I don't really enjoy learning. I don't have a geshmak in learning. I never had a geshmak in learning, or maybe I did at one point and I lost it. And we spoke in the Vad, and you could listen to a recording of it, what Reb Pinkus says to do about such an instance. But there's a sefer called Tiferes Shleima that I saw. He says a different pshat. He says that Taiv is not a reference to Torah like the Arachayim HaKadosh says, or maybe it is, but additionally, Taiv is a reference to a tzaddik. As the pasuk says in Yeshaya, Imru tzaddik ki taiv. A tzaddik is a bechina of taiv. If you want to know what's good in this world, a tzaddik is good. And the Torah is saying to a yid, ki yismach asher nosan le Hashem alekim, ki chesed elyon hu shemamid tzaddik b'chaldar. When there's a tzaddik that's in every generation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is maimid tzaddikim in every generation, there are tzaddikim. We know there are tzaddikim in every generation. The samachta b'chalatayv means that a person has to have hakara. You have to be happy. You have to be rejoicing and be grateful for the fact that there are tzaddikim in our dar. That's how he learns the pshat. The samachta b'chalatayv. Imru tzaddik ki tayv. A tzaddik is good. The samachta b'chalatayv. The taiv, the tzaddikim that we have, the samachta b'chalatayv, you have to enjoy them, you have to appreciate them, you have to have akara for how great they are and what we could gain from them. It's brought down from the great Rebbe, the Chayza Milublin. They say about the Chayza Milublin that he was able, the reason why he's called the Chayza, Chayza means to see, that he was able to see misayfa ilam yad sayfa. He was able to see everything that was happening throughout the entire world. He knew Baruch HaKadosh. And the Chayza Milublin said, this was obviously no small individual, this was a great tzaddik himself. And he said that all of the years, the Reb Levi Yitzchak Mibarditchev, the great holy Barditchev, the great protector of Klal Yisrael, the defender of Klal Yisrael, every day that he was alive, the Chayza Milublin would be miyachid every day a certain amount of time, a shah achas, whatever that is, a few minutes, I don't know, maybe it's a whole hour, to give gratitude and halal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he sent into this world such a great neshama that's so holy like the Barditchever. That's this pasuk, v'samachta b'chalatayv. When you have great neshamas in this world, when you have people that are walking the same planet as we are, and there are these huge, larger-than-life tzaddikim, you have to appreciate them. When they're alive, you have to recognize how great they are. V'samachta b'chalatayv. Rav Baruch Ber used to say, Al tashlicheni milfanecha v'ruach kotchecha al tikach menu. This is, I think, one of the most beautiful Bertlach from a Baruch Ber that I know. Rabbi Baruch Ber, he said, what does that mean? We're going to say it constantly during Slichas and during Yom Nairaim. Al tashlicheni milfanecha, don't cast me away. V'ruach kachacha, al tikach menen, don't take away my ruach hakadosh. Don't take away my ruach hakadosh. We're all saying that. That's not just for the stipler to say. Everybody's saying, don't take away my ruach hakadosh. I don't know, by a show of hands, how many people in this room have ruach hakadosh? Obviously, you're not going to admit to it, right? That wouldn't be appropriate, but I don't think too many people have Ruach HaKadosh, but yet this is a tefillah that everybody says. Ruach HaKadosh, we're screaming it out. Ruach HaKadosh, Al Tikach Mimenu. Who has Ruach HaKadosh? What does that mean? Listen to what Rabbi Baruch Ber says. It doesn't mean our Ruach HaKadosh. It means don't take away the Gedalia Yisrael. Ruach HaKadosh, Al Tikach Mimenu, the Ruach HaKadosh. The Ruach HaKadosh in the world, the Gedalia Yisrael who have Ruach HaKadosh, the Chafetz Chaims of the world, the Stiplers of the world, the Reb Chaim Kanievskis of the world, don't take them away. We need them. Don't take them away from us. The Ruach Kachach Al Tikam, it's a tefillah for Gedalia Yisrael. The truth is that we say this every single Monday and Thursday. L'kayim banu chachmei Yisrael. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make sure that our Gedalia Yisrael have a kiyum. L'kayim banu chachmei Yisrael. Let them stay with us. Let them be strong and healthy and alive because we need them. And when a person is able to have this hakara of how great it is to have Gedalia Yisrael, the powers of Gedalia Yisrael, the fact that there is a Gadol that's protecting the world and a place that we could be Shoyel Eitza, and a person that's learning so much that Misayfa Elam Ad Saifa, there's an R that they're bringing to the world. That's a kapara. That's the chata shmena that we have. That's the way we can atone for all of the infractions, the rabbinic infractions, the fact that we weren't machshav gedalei Yisrael enough. I remember so well that when I was in yeshiva in high school, I went to Long Beach, Masifta of Long Beach. And the Rosh Shiva was also one of the Gedalei Yisrael. His name was Reb Yitzchak Feigelstock. He was a Talmud Muvik of Rav Aaron Kotler. And they say amazing things about him. He was a very inspirational figure. And I don't know if I think I spoke about him when he was Nifter, but I don't speak about him often enough. He was a person, normally, you know, you read Gedalim stories and you read about how from when they were a little boy, they already finished Shas and Paiskin by the Bar Mitzvah, they made a Siman Kol HaTorah Kula, and you know, and you lose them. At that point, your eyes start glazing over and you shut the book and you say, I'm Apple. But what happened to Reb Yitzchak Feigelstock was very different. He grew up during the war. He was on the run. His family escaped from Europe. And he was raised in South America. I forgot exactly which country was in South America, but one of the South American countries, maybe Colombia or one of those countries. And in fact, it's very cute because you have to understand, Reb Yitzchak Feigelstock was like a legend. You know, in Long Beach, like people, like the Talmidim, everything was Reb Yitzchak Feigelstock. It was like the whole, you know, sun, the moon, and the stars was the Rosh Shiva. The Rosh Shiva said this, the Rosh Shiva said that. He looked at you know, and everybody was, you know, trembling in his presence and like being machnia themselves, like humbling themselves. Every word that he said, they were darshaning. And then one day, like I was in the summer, I lived in Long Beach, so I used to go to yeshiva in the summer when nobody was there. And I went into, you know, I was going to him. All of a sudden I hear that the Rosh Shiva is talking to the janitor. The janitor was from Bolivia, and he was a very nice guy, and they were talking in Spanish. As what? Yitzchak Feigelstock speaks Spanish? Like, you know, he has to just speak Yiddish. He barely spoke English. But then, like, I thought that he grew up in South America, he spoke Spanish. But it was, like, so funny to see him talking to a janitor in Spanish. I was like, but he was a person that didn't go to a formal yeshiva until deep into high school, I think. Deep into high school. He had very little chinuch. And then he went to Tera V'Das, and one of the Rashivas there saw something in him, I think of Gedal Yishar, if I'm not mistaken, and sent him to, he grew very quickly in learning, and they sent him to Rav Aaron. He told me the story himself, the Rashiva, once by Kiddush on Shabbos in the summer when it was more chilled. He told me that he was once in the room, he was sent by Rav Gedal Yishar, I believe, to a Faher by Rav Aaron. Going to a Faher by Rav Aaron Cutler, I think I would rather literally walk through fire than to sit in a room getting Faher by Rav Aaron Cutler. Rav Aaron Cutler was, Rav Aaron Cutler was in his brain, they say he bled Torah. If you'd cut his veins, Torah would come out. He was the genius of geniuses. Imagine sitting in the room if you were an advanced Talmud Chacham. But Rabbi Yitzchok Feilshtag was already, he was like a newcomer to Torah almost. He was a few years maybe he learned. And he was supposed to sit and get a Faher to come into Lakewood. And Rav Aaron was speaking to him and he was like schmoozing for a little bit and then he said, okay, no, what are you learning? And he started getting so nervous. All of a sudden there was a knock on the door and Rav Aaron had to take an important phone call. These were, I think, during like the post-war years, and Rav Aaron was spearheading the Vadat Sala, and there was a lot of crazy things that he had to deal with every day. And, he had to go. He says, okay, fine, you're in yeshiva, and good, go unpack your bags. Yitzchok Feilshtag says, saved by the bell. Saved by the bell. His mamash literally said, if he said, if I would have taken a fair, the history would have been changed. I would not have gotten into Lakewood. I would not have been, he was the Talmud Muvik of Rav Aaron. Rav Aaron used to pace back and forth and discuss klal issues, get etzes from him, hadracha from him. It's hard to understand what that means. Even I asked his son-in-law by the shiva, what does that mean? I've heard these stories since I was a child that Rav Aaron was shoyel etzes by a 19-year-old Rav Yitzchok Feilshtag. What does it mean? Rav Aaron Cutler didn't need anyone's etzes, let alone a 19-year-old bacher. Like, I don't even know what it means. And I asked his son-in-law, who's like the Rosh Yeshiva today, and he says, I don't know what it means either. I really don't know either, but he told me another story, that shows the pikchus of Rav Yitzchok. Rav Yitzchok was a tremendous pikeach. But, he helped Rav Aaron through a lot of issues, maybe just to speak it out and to understand it and to clarify things, to be magdir things, I don't know. But Rav Yitzchok was a tremendous Eved Hashem, and he was a tzura. He had a semel of kedusha, of tara, of seriousness. Everything was serious, and nothing was random. And he got up always before the tekiyas on Rosh Hashanah. And just to give a 30-second plug, how important it is. Manal spoke about it yesterday. How important it is to be in yeshiva on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim. I can't overstate it. It's impossible to understand the difference between being in a yeshiva on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and being in your local shul, as great as that shul may be, and as great as the rav there may be, and as great as it is next to your parents. But to be in yeshiva in the place that you learn Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim is you cannot compare. I mean, in Eretz Yisrael how the experience of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We have a beautiful davening here. Don't squander it. It's not a day, you want to squander up, but don't lose the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur in yeshiva, please, for your own sake. Rav Yitzchok would get up before the tekiyas, and he would give a very short Dvar Torah. I have them all written down at home if you want to see them. But just Divrei Hisayris before the tekiyas. But he always ended with this, and it made such a reishim on me. Beyond what he said in terms of the Torah, and I remember the Torah also, but he always ended, he says, when you're davening, have in mind the Panovich Rosh Hashiva. The Panovich Rosh Hashiva should be gesund. Rav Shach, you should continue to be Naya Klal Yisrael, to be Mani Klal Yisrael. And like I'm thinking, like, you're the Gadol Hadar, what are you telling me about Rav Shach? But he was telling us that you have to appreciate Gedolei Yisrael. and you have an Adam Gadol, don't squander it. Don't, you know, that doesn't mean you have to go there and ask for brachas every minute and run and waste his time, but at least be makir in America that there's a Gadol Yisrael, that there's somebody that's being manik la Yisrael, and you have to daven for that person. Because that person is not just a person. The person is mamish megan umatzel kla Yisrael. And made such a reishim, like that's something I have to daven for, not just for my steiging, and not just for my parents' health, and not just for parnasa issues, and but that there's a gadol b'Yisrael that you have to be mispahal for. You know, during the Persian Gulf War, so I've spoken about this war many times already, and it was a time that was really an Esar al Yaakov, that there was a Tzair Yehudim, Saddam Hussein Yamach Shemai, and he was in Iraq, and America was about to launch an attack, and they knew that he's going to take Nakama if his country's invaded. He can't shoot missiles at America. He didn't have that technology, but he was going to go to the proxy. He was going to go and shoot missiles to Israel. He made no bones about it. He said that that's what his plans were. And they knew that America was about to invade, and he was threatening the annihilation of Eretz Yisrael. They had Scud missiles, these huge missiles, each of them were the size of school buses, and they were going to launch them all to Eretz Yisrael, and there was a fear that there was going to be like biological and chemical warheads on top of them that would. And so they gave out gas masks. Maybe you've seen pictures of it, how everyone in Eretz Yisrael was fitted for gas masks, and they had sealed rooms, and during this war, they didn't know what was going to be. It was very frightening times in America on 1010 Winds, which was like the news station here. Every time a Scud missile was shot towards Eretz Yisrael, the news station stopped whatever they were doing, and there was a siren on the station and telling exactly where it was heading, and everybody was shaking. Every Yid in New York and beyond, we were like petrified what was going to be. So a lot of Americans that were learning in Eretz Yisrael, they wanted to know, should we stay or should we go back home? The parents were saying, come home, we don't want you there. But should they stay or should they not? And they went to Rav Shach, and they asked him, and then they went to Rav Chaim, and they asked him. Rav Chaim says, you don't have to go, you stay here. Stay here, B'nai Brak, or really the whole Eretz Yisrael. He said, Rav Shach is here. And Rav Shach is like the Iron Dome. Before the Iron Dome, Rav Shach is going to protect B'nai Brak, is going to protect Eretz Yisrael. They said, that's very nice. The only problem is we just came from Rav Shach. And Rav Shach said, if you can go home, you should go home. So Rav Chaim said an amazing thing. Rav Chaim said, that's because Rav Shach doesn't know who Rav Shach is. We know who Rav Shach is. He's not machshev who he himself is, but we know who he is. I saw from Rav Asher Zalig Rubinstein, who was Rav Shiva of Tyra Simcha, that when Rav Shach was sick, he said about him that the Gemara in Tainus, Chafal Avamud Aleph, says about Nochem Ish Gamzu, who said about himself that as long as I'm in the house is not going to fall. The house, it was a shaky, rickety house. He says, take out all the wine, take out all the stuff, because and keep me in here until everything is out, because as long as I'm in the house, it's not going to fall. And he says, that's what Rav Shach was. Rav Shach was the balabas of the world. He was the Gadol B'Yisrael. As long as he was in the world, everything was good. Everything was fine. And it's true. That's what happened. 39 missiles fell in Eretz Yisrael. And there was no direct casualties. No one died. I had a cousin, actually, who died. But he didn't die of a direct hit. He was an older, my father's cousin, actually. And he was maybe in his 80s, a Holocaust survivor. And he was so scared when they sealed the rooms and they put the gas mask on. He had like these, you know, flashbacks to when he was a little child in the war, and he died of a heart attack. But he was one of the few people in Eretz Yisrael that died. No one died in direct hit. The last day of the war, one of the last days of the war, a Scud missile hit an American encampment outside of Eretz Yisrael, somewhere like maybe in Saudi Arabia or something. That same Scud missile. And it killed over 100 Marines, I think, were killed. Something crazy. Just to show, I'm not saying it was done to show us, but just to give an example of the power of these Scud missiles. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, there's a Rav Shach in Eretz Yisrael, and I'm not going to do harm. He's here. I don't have the right to do any harm to Eretz Yisrael. And you know, the same thing happened with Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Reb Chaim Kanievsky was nifter. Bnei Brak was always the safest place in the world. Right after Reb Chaim was nifter, maybe during the week of Shiva, all of a sudden, I don't know if you remember, there was like, all, in Bnei Brak itself, there was like an Arab that had a knife and started attacking people. People were getting hurt. And you didn't have to have Ruach HaKadosh to understand that Reb Chaim was nifter, and now the Shemira is gone. I just read today, I think there's a terrible infestation of rodents now in Bnei Brak. And there was a pesach in Bnei Brak that's saying about sukkahs, whether or not, you know, it's mitzvah, whether you, if it continues by sukkahs, you might be potter from sitting in the sukkah. If you're on the first floor sukkah, you have to try to make accommodations to the second floor sukkah. It's a sakana. Besides for the fear, it's also these rodents are biting children. They're causing all types of damage. And I'm thinking to myself, how come we never heard about such a thing? I never heard of a rodent infestation in Bnei Brak. When did that happen? And again, I don't think that would ever happen if Reb Chaim Kanievsky was alive. These things didn't happen then. When he's no longer alive, we lack a shmira in Bnei Brak, in Eretz Yisrael, in the world. V'samachta b'chal ha'tayv. Ein tayv el tzadik. You have to be happy. You have to appreciate when you have tzadikim in the world. Because after they're nifter, it's just too late. It's just too late. Then you wish, oh, I wish I would have known. Had I only known, I would have gone there. I would have gotten a brach. I would have appreciated the tzaddikim that we have in the world in their living years. I just want to spend the remaining few moments just talking about my Rosh Hashiva, the Manal's Rosh Hashiva, Rav Aaron Schechter, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. I spoke about 40 minutes in Brooklyn last night about him. You can get that recording as well if you're interested. But I just want to just touch on one nekud of Rav Aaron's greatness. And he was a great human being. He was unbelievable. You know, when Reb Chatzkel Levenstein, the great Mashkiach in Panovich, and before that in the Mir, when he was nifter, Rav Volbi was maspid him. And Rav Volbi said something about him that always also stuck in my brain. He says, when Reb Chatzkel was nifter, we lost the last of the Yetzei Mitzrayim. The last people that left Egypt, the last person to leave Egypt was just nifter. What does that mean? Reb Chatzkel lived Emunah B'Tachin. That was his whole life. And every day of his life, the parsha that he was Isaac with the most was the epicenter of Emunah B'Tachon, which is Yetzias Mitzrayim. He has so much Torah about Yetzias Mitzrayim and everything that went into it, and all the Rambans, and there's so much Yesodus. He was the one that lived as if he was leaving Mitzrayim every day. It wasn't just like Seder night, we try to simulate as if we left Mitzrayim. Imagine we left Mitzrayim. He lived Yetzias Mitzrayim every day. When was the last person that left Mitzrayim nifter? He was nifter when Reb Chatzkel Levenstein was nifter. That was him. He left Yetzias Mitzrayim bechvaydei ba'atzmai. That's who we lost. It was the last of the last. It was the Acharon Shebacharonim. And I think this is my own thing, and it might not be fair to say or true to say, but if I can say one thing about Rav Aaron, when Rav Aaron was nifter, we lost the last of the person that was in the Slabotka mold of Godless Adam. Rav Aaron was a complete embodiment of what the Alter von Slabotka envisioned was the greatness that man could be. And the Alter raised Talmidim that all understood this. He had Talmidim, Rav Aaron Kotler, and Rav Shach, and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, and Rav Ruderman, and Rav Huttner. And Rav Huttner raised and developed Rav Aaron Schechter, and Rav Aaron Schechter was the symbol of Godless Adam. There was nothing that was trivial by Rav Aaron. There was nothing that just happened. There was nothing. You couldn't say something to Rav Aaron without him taking note of it and commenting on it. If you said something or you did something that was slightly wrong, if the word that you used was slightly incorrect, that everyone else in the world would just let it go, he didn't let it go. He wanted to correct you because he wanted to mechanech you that you can't use that word or you shouldn't use that word or you should use a different word. And he was Godless Adam. He just symbolized. I went with him to Belgium once. We flew together. It was one of the nicest times of my life. We went to a chasna, and we went on the airplane together. We were sitting and talking and learning and schmoozing, and we went and he was walking through the airports in Belgium, in Antwerp, and in Brussels. And, you know, these are anti-Semites, miminam smilam, and they were all looking at him like a Malach Hashem Tzvakis is walking through the airport. It wasn't, he just walked with an aristocracy, a nobility, and everything. He just looked beautiful, and he presented himself beautifully, and he walked, and he was just so graceful and so elegant. And he loved Yidden, like every Gadol b'Yisrael. A Gadol b'Yisrael, the Chazon Ish used to say that what defines a Gadol b'Yisrael, his circle is bigger. He's not much different in every single way. We might all be Gadolim, but a Gadol has a wider circle, and he's able to encompass more people, thousands of people. You saw by the Levaya, if anyone saw pictures of by the Levaya, there were thousands and thousands of people in the Beis Medrash and streaming onto Coney Island Avenue as far as the eye could see. Whoever thought that there would be another Levaya? I was by Rav Moshe's Levaya. You saw, you know, as far as the eye can see, Yidden. I didn't think that we'd have that anymore in America. Rav Aaron Schechter was a person that touched so many souls because he loved so many souls. He cared about people, and there are stories galore. I don't want to, you know, tell a million stories right now. The hour is late, and you could listen, you could read every newspaper, every Jewish magazine this week has stories and stories. I want to tell you a personal story that I think just touches upon this. When I was in learning Chaim Berlin, so the Beis Medrash was very crowded. It was, believe it or not, davening was full every single day in Chaim Berlin. And I was a little claustrophobic. I didn't like davening. I like walking. I like ravchus. And so I used to wake up every morning for davening, but I would daven in the Ezer Snashim. Upstairs, a very big Ezer Snashim, and I would put on my talis and fill in up there, and I would daven like always walking and, you know, pacing, and that's the, you know, sometimes I do it down here also. Like, I can't always sit in my seat. I need to walk. I need to roam a little bit, for better or for worse. So I was davening upstairs, and one day I was coming down the marble staircase in Chaim Berlin as Rav Aaron was coming up. We were both wearing our talis and tefillin. And Rav Aaron says to me, he says, Moshe, I was looking for you by davening. I was looking for you, you know, a lot by davening. I don't see you. Where are you? I said, Rabbi, I'm here every day by davening. He said, well, I don't see you. He said, yeah, I said, I'm not in downstairs. I'm davening in the Ezer Snashim. He says, why do you daven in the Ezer Snashim? I said, it's a little too crowded for me downstairs in the Beis Medrash. I like davening Beravchus. So he looks at me and he says, Moshe, you know the difference between me and you? He says, Ichab lib Yidden. He says, I love Yidden. I want to be amongst Yidden. I love being crammed together with hundreds and thousands of Yidden. I love Yidden. I have a love for Yidden. Obviously, by the converse, you know, was implicit also that, you know, obviously thinks I don't love Yidden. And I'm not going to comment on that on air, but that's who he was. He really loved Yidden. He cared about every Yid. He loved Russian Yidden, the Yidden that came over from Russia. He did so much for, and he started shuls and meisters and kiruv organizations and everything and anything to take care of these Russian Yidden. And that's why all these Russian Yidden today, they acknowledge that they're from, because of Rav Aaron, many of them, you know, whether it's in Be'er HaGaila or there were shuls in Flatbush, whatever he did in America for Russian Yidden, that was an obsession that he had. Svardashi Yidden he loved. He took a son-in-law, who was the current Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin, Reb Shlomo Halley was, a Svardasha. And I had friends that were Svardim. We went together on Shabbos, and I've spoken about his Shabbos table many times, the Kedusha and the Tara, but, you know, he didn't want to hear my Ashkenaz Zmiris on Shabbos. He just made, like, he said, sing a Zemer, he said to the Svardasha Bachim, and they would sing these beautiful Piyutim on Shabbos, and like he would just, his face was like glowing. He loved Svardashi Yidden. Up here in this room, I made a bris for Yitzi 13 years ago. and Rav Aaron was sitting on the dais, and my uncle, who was a real Yekes Yid, Olav Shalom, we were mechabed him with benching, and by Yekes, by a bris, the benching is like an hour, because there is all these harachmans. Like, we have a few harachmans in the Art School Siddur, but Yekes, they know how to do harachmans. They have like a whole booklet, literally, like a pamphlet harachman. He just kept on going. Like, my video is like 2 hours, the bris video that somebody was nice enough to make for me. But an hour of it was just the harachmans. It was just like these tefillahs that were said. And most people are like, okay, I really have to catch the train. Vemra, thanks for having me. I'm out of here. Like, this, I can't wait till the end of this. Rav Aaron was just sitting and looking through all the rachmans, and his face was aglow. He just was loving the minhagim and the klal Yisrael. That's what made him a gadol. The gadlus was that he loved all of us. And klal Yisrael reciprocate that. When there's a gadol that loves you, you love them back. Reb Chaim Kanievsky loved klal Yisrael, and klal Yisrael obviously loved him back. And the same is true for so many gadol Yisrael, Avad Yosef, and you know, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach loved every Yid, but you know, the Levaya that Reb Shlomo Zalman had, 600,000 people of every stripe, Kippah Seruga, and Hasidim, and Ashkenazim, and Snagdim, everybody loved Reb Shlomo Zalman because he loved them. And Reb Aaron was Nifter a week ago, the Levaya was a week ago, and last Thursday, And it didn't hit me really. I had a tremendously close relationship with Rav Aaron. I loved Rav Aaron. I think he loved me back. And he told me that he did many times. But for some reason because I was making a bar mitzvah, I think, I was trying to like just stay normal. The morning after the bar mitzvah was over on bar mitzvah was Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, all of a sudden like an ocean came out of me of tears. And I missed him so much. And I longed for him. I wish that I could have him back. I wish that I could just speak to him a few minutes and ask him about things. And Bishael Eitzen Hadracha, and by the way, he loved Lander College. He always said to me, he heard great things about what was going on here, and he was the one that really talked me into taking this position here. I was very reluctant. I was still super yeshivish. I didn't know hashkafically whether I should be going into a college and become mashgiach in a college. I didn't know what. And I didn't know, should I do it? I was in a yeshivish yeshiva beforehand. I was very happy. I was in Kamenetz Yeshiva in Brooklyn. I was a 12th grade rabbi. I was like a superstar. Everybody loved me there. And then I got this amazing offer, but I didn't know if I should do it. And I was like back and forth, making my wife crazy, making everybody crazy. Like, I don't know, should I? That? And then I just went to Rav Aaron. Rav Aaron says, of course you should do it. Of course you should do it. We had to work out some of the details, but of course you should do it. And he pushed me to do it, and I did it. And then, Baruch Hashem, you know, we went from a yeshiva of 30 guys, 35 guys, and to a yeshiva of 200 guys, and he took tremendous nachas. And every time he saw me, every time he spoke to me, even when he was, like, not well, and he could barely remember my name, he remembered that he sent me to do this mission here in yeshiva. But how much I wish that I had him just for a few minutes to talk about issues, to talk about my family, to talk about problems, talk about Klal Yisrael, talk about so many things that I had him for, and I think I appreciated him, but the loss is so great. And he wasn't well the past 7 years or so, and already, but he was alive. As Reb Shlomo Halevi was said by the Levaya, he was here. He was a presence. You felt that he was still here. The Samachta B'chalatayv, you're still able to have simcha in that he was in the room, he was in this world. But when we have Gedalia Yisrael, Rabbi Say, and I don't mean just the household name Gedalia Yisrael in Bnei Brak and in Eretz and in Yerushalayim and in Lakewood and in, I mean even our Rabbeim, our regular Rabbeim, Rosh Hashiva that we have, Manal that we have, Chaparayim, you don't understand. You know, we think, I have time, we have time. We don't have time. Every day is precious. Don't squander a shir, don't squander a chance to talk to your Rebbe, whether it's in learning or this Mili Da'alma. Don't waste time. And if you have Rabbeim in Eretz Yisrael, call them and tell them how much you appreciated what they did for you. But in the living years, v'samachta b'chal ha'tayv, make sure that you appreciate what you have, because it's not forever. It's not forever. And when we could appreciate that, that's the greatest kapara, that's the chat ha'shmeina. Anything that we may have said or done against tzaddikim, against gedolim, sometimes we get cynical and sometimes but we could be mechaper for that by working on our emunas chachamim, our abbas chachamim, our dibur chachamim, our appreciation, the simcha that we have over the fact that we have chachmi Yisrael, l'kayim banu chachmi Yisrael. Let's daven for them and let's talk to them, let's appreciate them and let's be ma'achid with them. And amidst Hashem, with that, we'll be able to go and greet Mashiach Tzidkenu. B'mehir b'yameinu amin v'amin. Have a wonderful Shabbos, Rabbi Yisrael.